Good afternoon, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. The sixth day of Chanukah is always Rosh Chodesh, Teves. Sometimes there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, sometimes 1 day Rosh Chodesh. Is there any difference between the first day and the second day? So there's a very Mechudish Dike comment in the Maseches Sofrim that none of the posts can quote Lahalacha. I usually don't look at Maseches Sofrim, but I have the Sefer Ha'itur by the Baal Ha'itur. Some of the earlier Gedolim thought the Sefer Ha'itur was written by the Rabbeinu Hananel. So the one who published it writes in the Hakdama it couldn't be written by the Rabbeinu Hananel because it was way after he quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel, quotes the Baal Ha'itur. So it was written by one of the French Baal Ha'itur. So the I have the edition of the Sefer Ha'itur that has Ha'oris by Rab Meir Yoina. He was a Rav, he was a big Talmid Chacham in one of the shul, one of the communities in Europe. Dr. Belkin came from that community. He remembered Rab Meir Yoina. He remembered that the Rav in the city. So he quotes this Rabbe Masech HaSofrim in a footnote on the section. The Baal Ha'itur only has 3 pages on Chanukah. He has an important comment. He quotes it. It goes as follows: the Mishnah Megillah on Daf Lamed and Beis tells us what you're laying on Chanukah. It says you're laying the Nesiim. Yom Rishon, who brought the Karbon, Yom Rishon, Mishen Chanukah Sam Mizbeach, because the Chashmonaim had to make a new Mizbeach. They had to make a new Menorah. They had to make a new Mizbeach. So they had to be Mechanach the Mizbeach. So we learned, we laying about Chanukah Sam Nesiim. On Rosh Chodesh, we lay in the Parsha Samasof from Rosh Chodesh. Usually Chanukah, you give 3 aliyahs, but Rosh Chodesh, you give 4 aliyahs. Shabbos, you give 7 aliyahs. So Shabbos, Chanukah, you give 7 aliyahs. So the Shaila is today, you give 4 aliyahs, but you have to lay in from Chanukah and you have to lay in from Rosh Chodesh. So which day lay in first and how many aliyahs do you give here? How many aliyahs do you give there? So the Magen Avraham quotes that there's a machlekes in the Yerushalmi. The Bavli doesn't have this machlekes. The Yerushalmi has a machlekes. How do you arrange the aliyahs? So the one opinion is that the opinion that we don't accept is that on Chanukah you don't give 4 aliyahs. You only give 3 aliyahs. So the 4th aliyah has to be Rosh Chodesh. The first 3 aliyahs, first you should lay in Chanukah and then lay in Rosh Chodesh. Because only Rosh Chodesh is going to be last, according to that opinion. And once you're laying in Chanukah, so you may as well give all 3 aliyahs in Chanukah, like you would have done on a normal day of Chanukah. And then because today is also Rosh Chodesh, you give the second Sefer Torah, you give the 4th aliyah. It's from the Kriya Rosh Chodesh. So the logic behind it is that on Rosh Chodesh you have 4 aliyahs. So you can't lay in Chanukah for the 4th aliyah, because in Tam Chanukah you don't have 4 aliyahs. And the accepted opinion is not so. Accepted opinion is like the other view in the Talmud Yerushalmi that gives the logic is Tadeh B'Sheinah Tadeh Tadeh Kodem. Rosh Chodesh comes, there are 12 Rosh Chodeshim in the course of the year, and half of them have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, half of them have 1 day Rosh Chodesh, and it's spread out over the whole year. So that's more Tadeh. It's Tadeh, it's more days. It's a question, this practice that we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, instead of 1 day Rosh Chodesh, is that a din d'arais, or is that a din d'rabban, or is that just a minig? So Rav Soloveitchik understood from the Rambam that it's a din d'arais. 2 days of Rosh Chodesh is a din d'arais. If 2 days of Rosh Chodesh is d'arais, so then the question is, so you should really how many Seiri Rosh Chodeshim are there in the course of the year? So every Rosh Chodesh, you give 11 musafim. You give 10 oilas and 1 chattas, soil chattas. Soil chattas, mechapran tumas migdash v'kadoshim. That's the Mishnah Shavuos. Says like that. So the Tosfos and a few mesichtas, and Rosh Hashanah and other mesichtas, might cut them. So the sukkah. So Tosfos quotes a Tosefta that how many Siri Rosh Chodeshim are there? Either 12 or 13, depending whether it's Shana Pshut or Shana Muberes. If it's Shana Muberes, then you have 13 Rosh Chodeshim. Shana Pshut, you have 12. The Tosfos quotes this, Rabbi Natan quoted this Tosefta to show that Rabbi Meshulam was wrong. Rabbi Meshulam was quoted as having said, later on he denied that he ever said it, but he was quoted by others. He lived in a different city from the Rabbi Natan. So someone sent the Rabbi Natan a letter, made a whole machlokes. So Rabbi Meshulam was quoted as having said, the Ezehu Chag Shachodesh Miskasa by Rosh Hashanah, the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is hidden, Achodesh Miskasabo, because if you look in the Psukim on Rosh Hashanah, it says you bring a whole bunch of Musafim. And it doesn't say anything about the Sawyer Lachatas of Rosh Chodesh. Rabbeinu Meshulam was quoted as having said that on Rosh Hashanah you don't bring Sawyer Lachatas Mitam Rosh Chodesh. You only bring the 10 Musafim, the Oilus. You don't bring the 11th one, which is a Chatzah. Rabbi Natan says he's wrong. It's a Beferisha Tosefta that says, how many Siri Rosh Chodashim do you bring in the course of the year, either 12 or 13? So you see that Rosh Hashanah is a regular Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, like any other Rosh Chodesh. And you bring not only, even though the Pasuk doesn't say it, Pasuk says, you bring all of these Musafim, Mavad Olas HaChodeshim in Chosoi, V'Olas HaTamidim in Chosoi. And it doesn't mention this Sorei Lachatos. So that's why Tosafot quote says. So Rabbeinu Meshulam said he never said that. He didn't say that you don't bring the Sorei Lachatos. He said that the Pasuk doesn't mention it. It's hidden in the Pasuk. Not that it's hidden that you don't bring the Sorei Lachatos. The Chumash doesn't mention that you bring Mavat Sorei Lachatos of Rosh Chodesh. That's what he said. He didn't say that you don't bring. But this is a Pella on the Rambam. That's the Kasha on the Rambam. According to the, if you read the Rambam, that 2 days of Rosh Chodesh is a real Din D'oraisa. Whenever you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, so every other month you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. So there shouldn't be it shouldn't be 12 or 13. There should be 18, 19. Every other month had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. There should be 18 Rosh Chodeshim. So Rav Soloveitchik said the answer perhaps lies in the following. The Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh writes that the year is a solar year. In the Jewish calendar, it's an androgynous, it's a hybrid. The year is a solar year, and the months are lunar months. The months depend on Chiddush HaLevana, and the year depends on the seasons. So you don't want Pesach sometimes to fall out in the winter. Every year, the lunar year is 11 days shorter than the solar year. So if every year it's 11 days earlier, so Pesach will start off maybe in the Chodesh Aviv, in the springtime. Then in every year it'll be 11 days earlier. So then it'll be in the winter. Then it'll be in the summer. Then it'll be in the fall. Then in the winter, it'll be in all the four seasons of the year. So that's why we make a Shana Mu'beres, to make sure that Pesach always falls out in Chodesh Aviv, in the springtime. And Sukkot is always Chag HaAsif. It should be the ingathering season. It should always be the right season of the year. So the Rambam explains that the years in the Jewish calendar are solar years, depending on the seasons. You have to touch up the year to make a Shana Mu'beres, but the months are lunar months that depends on Chodshi Halavon, on Chiddush Halavon. How do you know? So the Rambam says, because it says in the Pasuk like that, which Pasuk? It says, Oilus Chodesh B'Chodshoi L'Chodshei Hashana. So how do you see from that Pasuk, Oilus Chodesh B'Chodshoi L'Chodshei Hashana? How do you see from that Pasuk that the months are lunar months? Maybe they're solar months. And the first day of the month, you bring the Musa for Rosh Chodesh. All this Chodesh B'Chodesh L'Chodesh Hashanah, how do you see? Rav Soloveitchik said, obviously the Rambam is interpreting the Pasuk like Targum Onkelos interprets. All this Chodesh B'Chodesh doesn't mean the same as all the Shabbos B'Shabbatoi. All the Shabbos B'Shabbatoi means this is the weekly Korban Musaf that you bring every single Shabbos. All this Chodesh B'Chodesh, the Targum doesn't say this is the monthly Korban Musaf that you bring on every Rosh Chodesh. The Targum Onkelos writes, Oilos Chodesh B'Ischada Tusei. This is the Korban Musaf that you bring on Rosh Chodesh B'Chidusha Shel Levana, when the new moon appears. B'Chodshoi. Doesn't mean Chodesh B'Chodshoi is not the same Shabbos B'Shabbato. Olas Chodesh, this is the Musaf, these are the 10 Musafim and the one Sar Lachatas of Rosh Chodesh. Bechad Shai means Bishadatus Bechidush Shalavana. So that's apparently the Rambam understood the Pasuk like Tanka Bunklis. He just quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk alone doesn't prove that the months are lunar months. They only prove it if you learn Pshat and Pasuk like Unkelis. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested perhaps that's the answer to this Kasha. According to the Rambam, the way he understood the Rambam, that 2 days was Chodesh, the Netzim HaChumash sounds a little bit like that, that he understood the Rambam, that that 2 days of Chodesh is a Din D'Oraisa. The Rav used to say it's a Machlokes HaRishonim, because the Ramban writes Beferish in the Sefer HaMitzvot, it's only the Rabbanim. 2 days of Chodesh. The first day of Chodesh is only the Rabbanim. The second day is Menatar. But he thought that the Rambam holds that it's a 2 days of Chodesh is a Din D'Oraisa. So maybe that's the answer. Why don't you bring the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh? Why don't you bring 18 Siri Rosh Chodeshim? If there are 18 days in the year, the answer is you only bring, even though both days are Rosh Chodesh, you only bring the Musafim on that day when it's Chidush Shel Levana. Means the first day Rosh Chodesh, not the second day. According to the Ramban Sfakir, you only bring on the second day. The first day Rosh Chodesh is only Midirabbanan. It's a make-believe. The second day is the real day, Rosh Chodesh. According to the Rambam, if you understand the Rambam like that, that the institution of having 2 days of Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa, so you only bring the Musafim L'chorah on the first day, b'chidush shalavana. What is the first day? What are the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh all about? The first day has Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, but we don't want the month to begin yet. We want the month to begin tomorrow. So why did we declare the first day of Rosh Chodesh? Because the Molad HaLevana occurred on the first day. So that's why, since part of the, in Yerushalayim, that is. So since the Molad HaLevana occurred on that day, that's Chidush HaLevana. So probably according to Rambam, you bring the Musafim on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, not on the second day. And some of the early Achronim write that the two-day Rosh Chodesh institution is only a minig. It's not even a din mederabbanan. It was only a minig. It's an old minig because in the days of Shaul HaMelech, they had the Haftarah Mocha Chodesh. So it says they had a Sudas Rosh Chodesh on both days Rosh Chodesh. That's what it says in the Navi. So it was a very old institution. If it's a Din D'Oraisa, okay, it's from the days of Maimon HaSinai. But if it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, or if it's only a minig, then it's a pretty old minig from the days of Shaul HaMelech, from the days of David HaMelech. They already had 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So the the Maseches Sofrim makes the following compromise. Even though we follow the opinion that you give first three aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh and the fourth aliyah is Chanukah, like that opinion in the Yerushalmi, that's on the first day of Rosh Chodesh today. But if there would have been 2 days Rosh Chodesh and tomorrow would have been the second day, we would satisfy the other opinion and do the reverse. We would have lain the first three aliyahs would have been from Chanukah, and the fourth aliyah would have been Rosh Chodesh. If you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, you may as well satisfy both opinions, do like one opinion the first day, one opinion the second day. Very, very strange. So Rabbi Meir Yoina, the rabbi, Dr. Belkin's Rav from Europe, Rabbi Meir Yoina writes long footnotes, long comments he has on the Sefer Ho'itur. So he writes, he never saw any poskim who mentioned this at all, this Maseches Sofrim. The Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that Maseches Sofrim was not from the days of the Tanoim. It was written by the Gaoni Eretz Yisrael, who lived in the days of the Gaonim, the heads of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. We don't always follow, whenever there's a conflict between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we usually follow the Bavli. So a lot of times we don't follow what it says in Maseches Sofrim. So this is one of the things that they don't even discuss, they don't even quote this, that the first day Rosh Chodesh Tevis, you do the way we do, that you give the first three aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth aliyah is Chanukah, and the second day Rosh Chodesh, you do the reverse, like the other opinion in Talmud Yerushalmi. Yeah, what happens if you made a mistake? What happens? They took out, let's say, two Sifrei Torah, and they open up the first Sefer Torah, and it's the Aliyah for Chanukah. So it says in the Mishnah Brura, even though it's going to be a Tircha D'Tzibur, you close the Sefer Torah, you don't lane from Chanukah. You don't say, since you opened it up already, so lane for Chanukah. No, you close it, you take the other Sefer Torah, because that's the din. He's supposed to learn first the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh, because that's all year long. You have Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah is only 8 days. Rosh Chodesh is 12 days or 18 days spread out over the whole course of the whole year. That's Torah B'Sheinah Torah. What if the Kohen already, by mistake, they took out the Sefer Torah from Chanukah, Bamidbar, Pashas Nasai, and they started, the Kohen already said the Brochan East, and he laid the first Pasuk. So what do you do there? So you weren't Yotze yet. He just said the bracha, and you started laying one pasuk. So the Ramah quotes the Abu Dram that b'di'eved, that the Kohen already said the bracha, and they already started laying. You put away the Sefer Torah and you do it the correct way. That's what he quotes from the Abu Dram. So the Taz has a comment on that Ramah. He thinks that we shouldn't follow this psak from the Abu Dram. He thinks that it's not correct. The din of Torah b'shein Torah Torah kodem is lachatchila, but b'di'eved it's not miakev. So the Taz holds that this is called b'di'eved. If the Kohen already said the bracha, and if you're going to put away this, even if they didn't start laying yet, if you're going to put away this sefer Torah, you're going to take out the other sefer Torah to lay Rosh Chodesh first. So there's a machlokes, what do you say? Let's say, they show me the place. Let's say this week is Parshas Miketz. This week is Parshas Miketz. So they give the Kohen the first Ali on Shabbos, and he says the Broch, and then it turns out that they have a Parshas Kisisa. It's in Gansan, the wrong Parsha. So you have to roll back to Miketz. So the, if the Oyla Latur said a Broch, and he thought they were going to lean over here, then that's a mistake. They're not going to lay over. They're going to lay totally something different. You have to say a new bracha. So the Rishonim quote a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that the person has an apple to eat. The Yerushalmi talks about a turmisa. Turmisa is not an apple, but whatever. So let's say a person has an apple to eat and he only plans to eat one apple. That's all. He says, bar piho eats. And before he has a chance to take a bite, he drops the apple and it falls down the sewer. He can't get it. He can't retrieve it. It gets so filthy. He's not going to eat it. It gets so filthy, he can't eat it. So originally, he only planned to eat this one apple. Now he's going to eat a different apple. So the Yerushalmi says you have to say another bracha, because when you said the first bracha, you only had in mind the bracha should be mata this food, and you didn't plan to have anything else to eat. So that's why you have to say another bar pihuit. So there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Does that only apply to Birchas Hanenin? So it's like Me'ila Behegdish. So the Yerushalmi has a lashon when you recite the Birchas Hanenin, it's like a pidyon. It's like a pidyon on the Hegdish. And so there won't be an Issa Me'ila. So you had a mind to be paid this. You didn't have a mind to be paid the other thing. So the other thing, you still have to say a bracha. But if you're learning Torah, so you said the Birchas HaTorah, so they showed you the wrong place. So it's the same Birchas HaTorah. We're going to lay here, you're going to lay Mali Hacha, Mali Hasam. What's the difference? You have to lay in the right things. And maybe this whole idea that if the turmis fell down, you have to say another bracha, that only applies to Birchas HaNen. It shouldn't apply to Birchas HaTorah for an Ali if they showed you the wrong place. So that's how Machlokes. So we don't follow that opinion. We hold that if they showed you the wrong place, you have to say a new bracha. You have to say a new bracha, so the Magen Avraham explains in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. That's called b'di'eved already. So then the Taz is right. If today they would take out the Sefer Torah, and by mistake they call up the Kohen and he says the bracha, bracha Hashem Baruch Yavod, Hashem Baruch Abanim Nosalan is Torah Say, and then they look inside the Sefer Torah, and he already said the bracha. Look in the Sefer Torah, so it's Parshas Chanukah, it's Parshas Hanisim, and Parshas Nasai. So if you'll say that you have to lean over again, then it'll turn out that his bracha was bracha l'matala. So that's called b'di'eved. If the din would have been the Magen Avraham is masbe, if the din would have been like the other opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that if they showed you the wrong place, and then you roll up, you get the other Sefer Torah, you roll this Sefer Torah to the other place, you don't say another bracha, so it's still a chatchila. So you don't have to say another bracha instead of leaning over here, laying over there. But since we paskin that you do have to say another bracha, if they showed you the wrong place, that Birchas HaTorah is the same din as Birchas HaNen, just like by the turmis that fell in down the sewer. you have to say another bracha. So if they showed you the wrong place for the aliyah, you have to say another bracha. So just saying the bracha is already called b'di'evet. So b'di'evet, the Taz is right, that b'di'evet, Torah b'shena, Torah kodim is not mi'akev. So it's not mi'akev, so what do you do? So then there are two versions of those who hold like the Taz is taina against the Ramah. So the Ramah quotes the Abu Dram, even if they land already two aliyahs from Shalchanika, you have to put away that Sefer Torah, and you have to lean over Rosh Chodesh, three aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh, and then lean the aliyah from Chanukah at the end. So that's what the Taz says. It doesn't make sense. Torah b'shena, Torah kodim is only lachatchila, not b'di'evet. B'di'evet you yotzi like this. So what should you do? What should you do? Aloha l'maisa. So some achronim say, if by mistake they called up the kohen and he said the bracha, so you lain three aliyahs b'shal Chanukah. You do it like the other opinion in the Yerushalmi. You give three aliyahs b'shal Chanukah, and the fourth aliyah will be shal Rosh Chodesh. And the other opinion achronim is no, give one aliyah b'shal Chanukah. The Seder is not Miyakev. Normally, we would have given three aliyahs first, B'shal Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth aliyah, B'shal Chanukah. That's why it's printed in the art scroll. And here, by mistake, we started laying Shal Chanukah first. So give the whole one aliyah, B'shal Chanukah first. Laying the whole B'yom HaShishi today. And then the next three aliyahs will be B'shal Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to give three aliyahs, B'shal Chanukah. It's enough if you give one aliyah, B'shal Chanukah. Usually in the yeshiva, so many different minyanim. So every year on Rosh Chodesh Tevis, there's always one minyan that made a mistake, and it's always discussed. What's a din b'di'evet? If in the minyan where I daven this morning, they didn't make any mistake, but in the past there always would be at least one minyan would make a mistake and start laying Mishal Chanukah first. And then there would be a discussion in the Beis Medrash, what's the din? So those are the three opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Yes.
The reason be that people think you need three aliyos when you do any kriya?
Right. You can't have a kriya of less than three aliyos. There's one opinion in the Gemara that on a Tainis Tzibur, you only give one aliyah, and that one aliyah says the maftir. He gets one aliyah. He says, what is that all about? Usually you never have kriyas HaTorah less than three. So Rav Soloveitchik, we don't pass like that. We pass on a tiny sibi. You give three aliyahs because you never have kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. So what is that sheet? You only give one aliyah. Rav Soloveitchik explained on a tiny sibi, the Ika kriya really is the HaTorah because the role of the Nevi'im is to give Musa, to give Tochacha to Bnei Yisrael when they sin. That's why when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam got angry at Bnei Yisrael when they came back after the 70 years of Golas Baba, hardly anybody showed up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in advance, if hardly anyone will show up, he's going to get angry and he won't send any more Nevi'im. He's going to stop sending Nevi'im. He only had to send three Nevi'im, Chagas, Chai, Malachi, because he wanted them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that's a din. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash, can't even rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Not only can't build the Mechadosh, can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Novi. That's how the Tanoim say in the Sifrei, on the Pasuk and Parsha Sirei, L'shichna Sidushu, Uvas HaShama, L'shichna Sidushu, Drosh Alpi Novi. So each one of the three Novim, Chagas Chai Malachi, gave a Nevuah about a specific aspect of the Binyan Baisheni. And after Malachi signs off, he knows he's the last Novi. So he signs off, he says, Zichu Teres Moshe Avdi, you better observe all the mitzvahs, because I'm the last Navi. The next Navi is going to come, is going to be Eliyahu Navi. Hinei Anochi Shalech Lachem Eliyahu Navi Lepnei Boyom Hashem HaGodol Baner. Eliyahu Navi will come the day before Mashiach. So that's, we're still waiting. So Rebbeinu Shlom got angry, he didn't send any more Navim. So the role of a Navi, the function of a Navi is to give Tochachem. So on the Taina Siba, the whole purpose of the Kriyas HaTorah is just really to lain Navi, to give Tochacha. That's what the Taina is all about. We should do tshuva. But after Menavis Tzerech Shikba Torah Tchila, we don't want to make it look as if reading from the Navi is just as important as reading from the Sefer Torah. So whoever lains HaTorah has to first get an Aliyah. So that Tana says all you need, one Tana holds, all you need is one Aliyah. And a tiny seabird, that one Aliyah should enable that Oyla Latar to lay in the Haftar. That's the whole purpose. And we don't pass like that. We pass, and the whole Cheshbon is correct. But you never have Kriyas Hatar less than three Aliyahs. But it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be three Aliyahs from the first Sefer Torah. Give one Aliyah in the first Sefer Torah. You give three Aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh afterwards, like it was supposed to have been. It was supposed to have been three Aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh first, and the fourth Aliyah B'Shal Chanukah, because Torah B'Shana Torah Torah Kodem. So B'di'evet, if you did it out of order, so the Seder is not Mi'akim. So this is called B'di'evet. This is called B'di'evet. So Shagasari is not happy with Shagasari holds like the Ramah. He's not. He doesn't agree with the Taz. He shows from the Gemara, Torah B'Shana Torah Kodem is not Mi'akim B'di'evet. B'di'evet means if he did it already. He gives the Moshe like this. It's Shabbos, Yontav Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. And you're benching Bichas Hamos, and so you say both Ritzei and Yalav Yovei. So which one do you say first and which one do you say second? So Shabbos comes every single week. There are 52 weeks in the year, whatever, however many weeks there are. So you give them many more Shabbos than there are Rosh Chodeshim. So first you say Ritzei, then you say Yalav Yovei. So what if the person, by mistake, he starts saying Yalav Yovei first? So if he said till the point Hagamatzis has already said the punchline, so he's ready yotze b'di'evet. So what are you going to tell him? Stop where you are and go say Ritzei and then say Yalav Yovei over again. No, he already said b'yom Hagamatzis hazeh. So he's yotze the Yalav Yovei already. So he may as well finish and say Zochen Hashem l'kenu b'le'tov v'fakteinu v'le'v rocha, because once he said b'yom Hagamatzis hazeh, b'yom Chag Shavuos hazeh. So you've already completed the Haskarah. But if he didn't get up to that line yet, to the punchline, he didn't say B'yom Chag HaSukkos HaZeh yet. He just said, Yalav Yov Zichnen, Fignen, Zichon, Kalam, Chavesel, Lefanech, Lefleit, to the Tev, Lechen. And then he realizes he was supposed to have said Ritzei first. So the Shagasari has a Hechocha from the Gemara, that even if you started the Einot Torah first, but you didn't finish it yet, if you already finished it, you were Yotzei already, he said that line, B'yom Chag HaSukkos HaZeh. So you already finished it. So you may as well say the last two lines, and so on. But if you didn't get to that line, then you stop where you are. You go back to say Ritzei, and then you say the Yalav Yovei afterwards. So the Shagasaye holds that the Taz was wrong. The Taz says, Tadim Shayna Tad is only Lachatchila, but B'di'evet, if you started Eina Tad first, so you finish the Eidah Todah. So the Shagasari says, not true. It would only be called B'di'evet if you were Yotzei already. It would be called B'di'evet if you already laned the first Aliyah. The Kohen gets the first Aliyah today. And they laned the whole Yom HaShishi in the Siyam. They laned the whole thing. So that's B'di'evet. And that's B'di'evet. And the Kohen said the bracha afterwards. Hashanah Salon Teres Emes. We hold our practice, he said bracha before, bracha after. So, but Kolzman the Kohen didn't finish the whole Aliyah. Let's say they only gave him two psukim, or they gave him three psukim and didn't say the bracha after yet. So he didn't finish yet. So then the Shagasari said, that's still called lachatchila. That's not called b'di'evet. The Taz holds it's called b'di'evet, like the Magen Avraham explained. Because if you're going to mishuf the Sefer Torah to a different location, then it's going to turn out the first bracha that the Kohen said was bracha lebatola. Because just like by the turmasa that fell down the sewer, you have to say another bracha. You're going to have to say another bracha. So that's toch b'di'evet, because you'll make his bracha into a bracha matola. That's called b'di'evet. And the Shagasari holds, no, it's only called b'di'evet if you already were yotzei that mitzvah. So we got to be careful not to make mistakes. We should think 2 times or 10 times before we do something. Okay, we are in the middle of Chazara. Yeah, so we found there's a very important Tosfos at Negei Halacha LaMaisa and Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph Divrei Hamasa V'Harei Dam. Yeah, we said Halacha LaMaisa. The Prima Godim is a commentary on the commentaries. Prima Godim on Arachaim and on Yerideya. So in Arachaim, you have the two commentaries on the side of the page, the Taz and the Magen Avraham. And Yerideya, the two commentaries are the Taz and the Shach. So the Prima Godim is a commentary on the Taz and the Magen Avraham and Arachaim. and on the Taz and the Shach and Yeridetz. It's called the Super Commentary. Commentary on the Commentaries. So the Prima Godim writes, Hanhogas Hashel Bahanishal. When someone comes with a Shaila, what do you have to be careful about? What do you have to? What questions do you have to make sure that you ask? So he has the following, he has a whole checklist of things that you should ask. So let's say someone comes with a shaila, a little liquid treifus fell into a pot of soup. So is it mutter to eat the soup or not? So he says, if it's treifus deraisa and it's mimishen amina, so you need shishim in atoira, because we assume tam ki ikar is a din deraisa. Tam ki ikar means Anisa fell into heter, and it's bitarubis, it's lach balach, yesh blila, it's all blended in together. And you have a roiv heter, but you don't have shishim. So that's a din of tam kiker. Since it's still nice and tam, if you have shishim, we assume it's probably not going to be nice and tam. Because man, you don't have shishim, it's still nice and tam. So that's what we declare, tam kiker. If you eat the soup that has the flavoring of the treifus in it, that's like eating the chazer itself. That's just as bad as eating the treifa food itself. Tam kiker. So that's how we pass on tam kiker. There's a machlokes hatanoim, whether that's the rice or the rabbanon. Machlokes rashi and the rabbin and tam. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like they pass on like tesis. The tam kiker is a din the rice. So therefore, if you have a suffix, the rice, luchuma. So if you can't tell if you have shishim, you're not sure if you have shishim or not, the suffix, the rice, luchuma. What if the whole isa that fell in into the soup is only an isa de rabbanon, and you can't tell if you have shishim? So if it's only an isa de rabbanon, then you say safik de rabbanon lekula, safik shishim. You would say safik de rabbanon lekula. Well, let's say the isa is an isa de raisa, but it fell in. It's min b'minoy. So the only time you apply tam ki ikar adin de raisa, that's if it's min shein amin, if it's two different flavors. But if it has the same flavor, so the whole need for shishim, we assume in Yeridea, not all the Rishonim agree, but we assume in Yeridea that the whole need for shishim, when you have a taruvus of mimimina, is only made the rabban, xera otum mimishainamina. If it would have been mimishainamina, it would have been nice and tam. So even though it's mimimina, you need shishim made the rabban. So whenever the shishim is only needed made the rabbanon, then if you have a suffix shishim, so you have a right to say suffix the rabbanon the kula. You should try to figure out whether you have shishim or not. But if you just can't, you're not sure exactly how much isa fell in. You're not sure how much fell in. So then a suffix shishim, if it's the rice, it's lechumra, it's the rabban l'skula. So then the Taz explains, and what if a little dam, you're cooking a pot of soup on the burner, on the stove, and a little dam falls in. You have the raw chickens that came from the butcher shop, and you didn't salt the chickens yet. When I was a little boy, my mother used to salt the chickens at home. When you people were born, you never see your mother salting the chickens. The butcher salts all the chickens. We hope he does it properly. They don't all salt the chickens properly. So let's say if your mother has this kosher chicken and she didn't salt it yet, and the blood is dripping out of it, so some of the blood from the chicken drips into the pot of fleshig soup. And you don't know how much blood dripped in, so you don't know if you have shishim. Sometimes it's a dead giveaway. The pot of soup is full. Maximum it fell in, 5 drops of blood. So, but there's for sure the shishim against. And sometimes you don't know whether you have shishim or not. So if you have a dam is an isa deraisa, so if you have a suffix, whether you have shishim or not, should have been sveka deraisa luchumre. So the Prima Godim writes, no, that's not correct. Because there's a machlokes in the Gemara about dam shebishloi. The dam shebishloi, if you have a korban, and you cook the dam before you zerk the dam in the mizbeach. So then the Gemara says you're not yotze the mitzvah. Dam shebishla is not kosher lezmik al gabi hamizbeach. And therefore, the isa dam, it says in the Chumash, you're not allowed to eat dam because ki adam hu anefesh v'ani nesatev lechem al hamizbeach lechaper. I want you to be zerk the dam on the mizbeach. That's why you're not allowed to eat dam. So since dam should, so the Gemara says this, since that, it's a machlekes in the Gemara. It's a machlekes had a paskin. So there are more for sure paskins like this. The mechaber, it's a question, how does Sfardim paskin? But there are more for sure paskins. The dam shebishloi, there's no isa deraisa, it's only an isa derabbanan. Because dam shebishloi is not roi lezmika al gabi hamizbech. Same thing, yayim avushal. Yayim avushal is not roi lenisuch al gabi hamizbech. If a person pledged, let's say a person brings a korban, it has to bring mechosim in his keim. yesterday being the Sochim, and by mistake he brought the Yayim of Ushal, and they poured it down the Shisa and on the Mizbech. So you're not Yotze. He has to bring Dafke Yayin She'enim of Ushal. You're not Yotze if you bring Yayim of Ushal. The same thing when you burn the Emurim on the Mizbech. So first you cook the Emurim. And then you burn them on the Mizbech, it's going to have a different odor. It's going to smell differently. If you burn raw meat on the Mizbech on a fire, it smells like one thing. And it has to be Reach Nechayach. So the Gemara says, if Evorim Shebishlon, if first you cook the Evorim and then you put them on the Mizbech to burn on the fire, then you're not Yotze Aktoris Emurim. The carbonas have to be raw. You're not supposed to be makro carbonas that were cooked already. And then burn them on the Mizbech and pour them down the pipes by the Yayin, and then Zark the Dam on the Mizbech. So that's what the Prima Gadim writes. If you have Dam, even though it's an Issa Deraisa, and the need for Shishim is Deraisa, but it's going to fall into a pot that's cooking on the fire, so it's going to become Dam Shebishl. Dam Shebishloi is only an Issa Derabbanan. It's not an Issa Deraisa. So the whole need for Shishim is only with the Rabbanan. If the whole Issa is only with the Rabbanan, then the Prima Gadim adds on. But Medvar Mamurim, when they say the Dam Shebishloi, the Issa Dam is removed, and it's only an Issa de Rabbanan. That's only if it's dam from a kosher animal or dam from a nevela. But if it's dam from a trefa, even Bishla will be an Issa de Raisa. Why? So he explains that the Tosfos points out over here in our Gemara that it would have Agamor is going to list what's the whole gist of our sugya now. There was a machloikis, again. There's a machloikis, let's start Bereshit, start from the beginning. The Baruch Shalom created the world and gave the Torah Hasina. Okay. And then he told us that you're not allowed to eat a lot of macholos asuras. Okay. So there's a machloikis hatanaim, chametz b'pesach, you're not allowed to eat. Is it asa b'hanoah? Not. We don't accept his opinion. How do you know that it's Asamano? So that was a machlokes chafalaf and the base between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Abohu. So Rabbi Abohu says a klal. The klal only applies to two cases. His klal is whenever the Torah tells us that something is also b'achila, it's self understood that it's also Asamano, unless you have a ferish pasuk that says otherwise. So when does this klal apply? Where did the Torah say that something is also b'achila and self-understood that it's also b'ano? That's by Shoran Iskal and Chametz b'Pesach. That's the whole klal. And everything else is an exception to the rule. All the other things, Ev Menachai and Dam and Giranoshe and Nevela and Treif, everything is an exception to the rule. Even though it's also b'achila, it's muta b'ano. And the klal, whatever is also b'achila, is also b'ano, applies to these two. That's what we said. There are more yotzim in our cloud. There are more exceptions to the rule than cases that fall under the rule. The rule only applies to two cases, and there are so many more exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says, Nevela is a pasuk. Lagera sheshachotan v'achola mochala nochri. So it says, beferish that Nevela is muta b'hano. Then the Gemara says, how do you know that dam is muta b'hano? You see from the Mishnah. You see from the Mishnah Yuma, El Beil and Sar from Rabbi Yitzchak and Nachal Kidron, and the Ganonim, the Jewish farmers, pay money to Hegdish. They shouldn't be in violation of Meila using the dam Meila with the Rabbanon. There shouldn't be a violation of Meila with the Rabbanon using the dam of the Karbonas, but they use it to enhance the growth of the Paris on their field. Okay, so you see the dam is Mutabano. So the Gemara says, how do you know it's Mutabano? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. So Tosfos asks, why is it such a big problem? Why is it so difficult to figure out? The Torah says that Nevela is Mutabano. Included in the Nevela is the Dam. Is Dam Bechlal Basa or is Dam not Bechlal Basa? Is Dam Bechlal Basa or not? So Tosfos thought, look, that's a machlokes b'sham and b'silo. They quote from Masechus Shabbos, Daf Ayin Zayin, there's machlokes b'sila mishamai. If an animal drops dead, means it didn't have a proper shechita. So nevela is metame, akazais mena nevela, piece of meat in the AMP is all nevela, didn't have a proper shechita. So if you have a kazais and you pick it up, even though it's packaged, so you're not doing any maga, but you're doing masa. So in the Beit is metami b'magav masa. It's only metami b'ohel if it's meis adam, if it's a human body who's dead, then it's metami b'ohel. And then it's a machleik sabshim and the rabbana when the meis akama metami b'ohel. But the nivelas beim is only metami b'magav masa, not metami b'ohel. So what's a din if you have dam from an avela? Not the kazais basa from the avela. What if you have dam from an avela? So that's machleik is bishami b'sil. So bishami holds not metami. Period. And we pass like Basil that it is metami. That's a question when Basil says that dam from an avela is metami. Is that a din deraisa or is that a chumra midirabanan? So some say it's only a chumra midirabanan. Dam nevela Basil metami is only a chumra midirabanan and ator is not metami. But you look in the Rashash and the cross references, the Pashta says that's not correct. Some suggested like that. He quotes a Ravid like that on Adius, I think. But he says it wouldn't appear so from the Gemara. The Pashta says, like Tesis assumes, that Beis Hillel's disagreement with Beis Shammai is on the level of the Raisa, the Dam Hanavela is Metame. What's the Mokker? The Gemara never tells us any Mokker. So Tesis initially thought that it's a Svara, that Dam is Bechlal Basar, just like Besar Nevela is Metame. Basar is solid, it's a Dover Gush, and the Dam is a liquid form of Basar. So Taisa thought that that's the mocker of Beis Hillel, that dam of an avela is metame, because dam is bechlal basar. Dam is considered a liquid form of the basar. And that's why the Gemara says when Beis Hillel said that it's metame, it's not metame because I said metame bervius. Why? Because dam is different from all the other liquids. All the other liquids, when they freeze, they expand, they become bigger, and dam is going to shrink. So dam, the Gemara says, yochal likrush, if you have a revius of dam, a beitza machza is a revius, and a kazayis is less than a beitza, either shlish beitza or chatzi beitza. That's two opinions in the Rishonim. So it's significantly different. Revius is beitza machza, and this is either chatzi beitza or shlish beitza. So nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. When the dam congeals and it solidifies, so you'll need a revius of the liquid dam that it should be able to solidify and congeal and turn into a kazayis in a solid form. So Tosis says, that's what the Gemara says. Why the Basilkish? When Basilo say Tame, you have to have a revius of dam, yachal likush for laman kazayis. It sounds like it's a svara, because dam is bechwal basar. And that's why you need a sheer kazayis. And a revius is equivalent to kazayis. A revius in liquid form is equal to a kazayis in its solid form. So that's what Tosfos says. L'chore, you see from Beis Hillel that the dam is bechlal basar. So then, because otherwise, why do they say it's metame? How do they know it's metame? The Gemara that never has any pasuk. But then Tosfos backs out to that because of our Gemara. Our Gemara Kol Shor, when the Gemara is trying to establish that dam is muta b'hanor, so they should have said like this. When the Torah says Lagerish Hashachatan of Achala Machala Nach means anything within the Nevela, including the Chelav of Nevela, which not only has an Iser Chelav, it has an Iser Nevela on it. Chelav is a Dina Kibasa, Chelav is a piece of flesh, and including the Dam also, the Chara Dam is Bechla Basa. Don't you see that from the Besilo, who said that Dam Nevela is Metami Bik? Because Yochal Likrush with Aman al Kazayis. So Tosfos says, but from our Gemara, you see that it's not correct. You see that Dam is not Bechlal Basa. So how did Beis Hillel come up with their Chiddush? And let's say Beis Hillel is only, but the Rabbanon doesn't seem correct. So if there's no Pasuk, so how do they come up with their Chiddush? That Dam Nevela is Metame. So Tosfos says, it must be that there is a Pasuk, and the Gemara never mentioned it. Okay. There must be some hidden Pasuk somewhere. So the Prima Godim says, if you have dam from an avela, and dam is not bechlal basar, Tosfos proves in my sugya, dam is not bechlal basar. So dam she bishloi takes off the isa dam, because not roi lizrik al gavi hamizbeach, and dam is not bechlal basar, so it doesn't have an isa nevela on it. Isa nevela is only chalam bisar hanevela. So then the whole isa dam nevela is only going to be midirabanan. Dam shebishla is only going to be midirabanan. So if you have a sofik shishim, then you have a right to be mekel, sofik derabanan lakula. But it's going to be dam from an animal that's a trefa, not a nevela. the animal, while it was alive, it was walking around. It had a sim, it had a broken leg, or it had a sircha in the lungs. The animal was a trefa, and it develops dam. So the dam of a trefa should be usur in addition to the isa dam, which will be removed min haTorah once you do bishloi. But the dam from a trefa will have an isa trefa on it. That's the din of yotze min haTomei Tomei, yotze min haUsur Usur. That's the mission in the first parak of Chorus and Avav Mabeis. If you have the eagle lays an egg, so the egg is treif. And if you have a treifa, an animal, a cow that's a treifa, has a broken leg, or has a sikh on the lungs, whatever, and you milk it, so the milk is asa. Yetz min atami tami. That's learned from the pasuk basayana. The Gemara says in Perik Elu Treifas, the third Perik in Chulin. Basayana means only the female ostrich bird is asa, the male is muta. How can it be? It doesn't make sense. There is no such thing, a difference between the male and the female. Mor says, no, basayana refers to the beitza soiftami. Only the female birds lay eggs. The male birds don't lay any eggs. So so that's the pasuk for the din of yetz min haTomei. So that's what the Prima Gadim says. If you have dam from a behema, trefa, even if it falls into a pot and everything is cooking, now it's dam shebishla, so it's only the rabbanon, but it's still dam shebishla is only the rabbanon, isa the rabbanon, bitam the isa dam. But it has... but if it's dam from a behema trefa, so it's also because of yotze min haTomei Tomei. So then you'll need shishim min haTorah. Then you will need shishim min haTorah. But if it's dam from a behema, dam from a nevela, so you can't say yotze min haTomei. The minute it becomes a nevela, the minute it dies, it doesn't produce any more dam. All the dam was produced while it was alive. While it was alive, it didn't have an isa, nevela on it. So dam from an animal that was an avela will only be an isa derabanan. If you cook it, it's going to be dam shabishla. The bishul takes off the isa dam, and dam is not bechal basa. So it never had an isa nevela on it in the first place. So this was an important tosis. This tosis made its way into Shulchan Aruch. The Prima Gadim quotes it in his. When you have the checklist, you have to ask, what question does the Moir HaRoa have to ask before he paskens the Shaila? So he has to ask, do you have Shishim against the Issa that fell in? If you're not sure if you have Shishim, is an Issa Derais, an Issa Derabanan? If it's Dam Shebishla that takes off the Issa Dam, but it won't take off, Bishla doesn't take off the Issa Nevela or Trefa. But the dam of a trefa will be an isa deraisa yotzim and asar asar. It was developed, the dam is developed inside the body of the trefa animal while it was a trefa. It's been a trefa the last month, let's say. But if it's dam from an avela, then it doesn't have the isa nevela because dam is not b'chol b'osar. Yeah. Our tosis is abridged. On the margin, it tells you to look in the tosis and Menachos. In other Masechtas, there's part of the Tosis appears in Sanhedrin, the Abdallah and the Manalev. And one of the other Tosis in Sanhedrin has a misprint. They tell you to look in the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Yudzayin, Perakotcha Mizbech. There is no Perakotcha Mizbech in Zvachim, Daf Yudzayin. It's supposed to say Me'ila, Daf Yudzayin. So there's a Tosis in Me'ila. And there's a Keren Ora Me'ila that we said over. The Tosis claims that the Rishalmi says the following, that there's a difference between dam nevela and dam from one of the Shemona Shratzim. The Shemona Shratzim hamur and batora. The Chumash has singled out sheretz doesn't mean an ant or cockroach or something. The Shemona Shratzim are rodents. Atzov achbar, the Shemona Shratzim mentioned in the Chumash. So the Shemona Shratzim, while they're alive, they're not tummy. If they die, so Nivlas HaSheretz is Metame B'maga. Nivlas Behema V'chai is Metame B'maga U'B'masa. And Emes Adam is Metame B'maga B'masa U'B'ohel. And the person that becomes tummy Emes from a dead body has to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi and from Paraduma water. And then only then can he go to the mikveh to become Tohar. So the Tosfos claims that there's a difference between dam hasheretz and dam hanevela. Dam hanevela is on mitame berevius. That's what the Gemara says. Then Bisar Hanavela is Matami Bikazayas. But the Dam Hanavela, the Gemara says, a Revi is Dam Nevela is Yachalikash for Laman Al Kazayas. So since it's Ein Shireim Shavim, because the shear for the Dam is Revius and the shear for the Basar of the Nevela is Kazayas. So if you have a half a Kazayas of Basar and half a Revius of Dam, they won't be Mitzar from Zem Zeh, even though it's the same Tumah. But it's not Shireim Shavim. One is Revius, one is Kazayas. But if it's Sheretz, so then Taisus quotes the Mishnah with the Yerushalmi, the way they understood Yerushalmi, that since the Dam of the Sheretz is also Bikadasha, and the Bisar HaSheretz is Bikadasha, so not only is Tumasim, it's Shireim Shavim, Mishmasim Shavim. That's the same din Tumah and the same Shir. They're both, the shear for both is Kadasha. So then a half a Kadasha of Dam in Asheretz and a half a Kadasha of Basam in Asheretz would be Mitztarfim Yachad to be Mitame Bemaga. It's not Mitame Bemasa Baal, to be Mitame Bemaga. But the Dam in the Basar of an Avela would not be Mitztarfim Yachad, because even though it's Shmosem Shavim, it's the same Tumah, but it's not Shireim Shavim. That's what Taisa says. So the Keren Oira, interesting, the Keren Oira on Me'ila, on that Daf Yudayin, what the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet is referring to, and they have a misprint, it says, Vachem Daf Yudayin, it's really Me'ila Daf Yudayin. So the Keren Oira quotes the Tshuva's Beis Ephraim, who begs to disagree with Tosfos. He thinks that he can read the Yerushalmi differently, and he thinks that that it's not true. He thinks that it is called Shireim Shavim, since the whole reason why the Shir by Dam Nevela is Revius, because by Dam, when it'll solidify, it won't expand, but it'll get smaller, it'll shrink significantly. So you need a Revius Dam of a Nevela, Yochalikrish, Velaman Al Kazayas, Kazayas either half a Kebetza or a Shlish of a Betza, and a Revius is a Betza Machza. So it's significantly three times. It's at least three times as much, maybe a little more. If a kazayas is a half of a kebetza, then it's three times as much. If a shlish betza, it's more than three times as much. So the Beis Ephraim and the Tshuva thinks that maybe it's called Shireim Shavim, maybe it is Mitztar from Yachad. So this is relevant, he writes, this is relevant to Magan Avram. Halacha l'maaseh, Magan Avram has a din. Let's say I eat a little bit of a carrot, less than a kazayas. So you don't say bracha achrona. What if I eat a little bit of a cookie, less than a kazayas? You don't say ala michya. What if I had a half a kazayas of a cookie and a half a kazayas of a carrot? Tuch de achilos pras. Tuch de achilos pras. So even though normally this is machayv to say ala michya and this is machayv to say bar nefashis, so I would have said that they're not mitzvah from yachad. So the Magen Avraham says it's not true. If you have a half kazayis, that's how we bask. And if you have a half a kazayis of a cookie and a half a kazayis of a potato or a carrot, it's mitzvah from yachad, and you have to say bar nefashis at the end. However, the Magen Avraham says, what if you had, because bar nefashis fits in with cookies also. Usually if you have a kazayis of a cookie, then you have to say ala michya. But if you had less than a kazayis, then it could be mitzarf with a less than a kazayis of a potato or a carrot to require a bracha achrona, bar nefashis. But what if the Magen Avraham says, what if you have a half a kazayis of a carrot and a half of a revius of soda or some other liquid? So then the Magen Avraham says, they're not mitzarf. And why? Like Taisus, because the kazayis and revius are not shireim shavim. It's a different shear, so therefore it's not mitzarf. So the Beis Ephraim begs to disagree. He says he doesn't think it says that in the Yerushalmi, and he thinks that the dam of the nevela, b'silul hol dam nevela is metame b'revius and b'sai nevela is metame b'kazayis. We have half a revius of dam and half a kazayis of b'sai nevela. He thinks that it will be mitzarfim. That is called shireim shavim. Is called Shireim Shavim, even though the shear by one is Revius, the shear by the other one is Kazayis, but it's rooted in the same thing. The reason why you need a Revius is because Yochalikush for Laman al Kazayis, the other half of one, half of the other would be Mitzarf. So that's what the Beis Ephraim, so the Karen Ori says, once you hold like that, Beis Ephraim, disagreeing with Tosfos Pshat and their Yerushalmi, then there's room to say that Oichal HaMashke would be mitzvah from Yachad for Bracha Achrena also. You had a half a revius of water and a half a kazayis of a cookie. So maybe, and he was shosamayim with summer, he was thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you just, you want to swallow a pill, then you don't say a bracha vishana, a bracha achrena on water. If you drink water, if you're drinking orange juice in order to swallow a pill, or you're drinking some very tasty thing, not plain old water, then you have to say bracha, even though you're not thirsty. But water, you only say bracha vishana, bracha achrena, if shosamayim litzamay. If he only drinks the water in order to swallow a pill or something, then you don't say bracha, not before, not after. They quote from the Vilna Gaon, a lot of times a person is thirsty, and they give him a cup of water. He takes one sip, and he's already not thirsty, but he's full of paper and svarim, has notebooks and svarim all over the table. So he's going to leave the rest of the water on the table. He's afraid he's going to spill. So he'll drink the rest of the water, but he's not really litzamai. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, you only say a bracha achreina on a revius of water if you were shosamayim litzamai, the whole revius. But if he took the first sip and he's already not thirsty, and he drinks the rest just, he's afraid he's going to spill and make a mess over here. So then there's no bracha achreina. So that was the ha'ora that the Keren Ora raises. Keren Ora was the younger brother of the Mishkan as Yankif, who was the rabbi, Rabbi Yankala Karlina. He was the rabbi in Karlin. He had Karlina Hasidim, stolen Hasidim to deal with. Stolen Karlina, twin cities, like Minneapolis and St. Paul, or like Bergenfield and Teaneck. One city blends into the other. Originally, there were two cities, and each one grew and grew and grew till it became one big city. So that's the same city. So he had several of the tshuvas in the Mishkan as Yankev are to disagree with certain Hasidic practices that the Hasidim had, that the stolen Hasidim had, because he had learned it in Balazhin. He was a real misnagid. So several of his tshuvas in the Mishkan as Yankev are to disagree with the Hasidic practice. In fact, one of them is famous historically. In the Mishkan as Yankev, he has a tshuva attacking the Hasidim. They're makbid. Some of the Hasidim are makbid. You have to dafka buy a green esrig, because it says in the Zohar why the esrig has to be yorek. So they misunderstood. They thought that yorek means green. So the Mishkan as Yankev says that's a big mistake, that yorek means brown or yellow. Yorek kikarsi is green. But if you just say yorek, yorek could be brown or yellow. Of course, an esrog should be brown or yellow. It shouldn't be green. If it's green, it's pasul. So that's a famous tshuva, because when Rav Chaim Volozhin passed away, so after he passed away, other people put together a collection of tshuvas by Rav Chaim Volozhin, and they printed it in a volume that's called Chutam Shulosh, a collection of the tshuvas of three gedolim. So the first is Rav Chaim Volozhin is the first third. That's the part that people read. Then you have tshuvas by his two sons-in-law. One is Rav Lezer Itche, Rav Lezer Yitzchak, and one is Rav Hillel. They were also Magid Ishir in Volozhin Yeshiva. Big Talmid HaChacham. So there are three parts to that sefer, Chutam Shulosh. So among the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, by mistake, they printed this tshuva that clearly is not by him. It was written by the Mishkan as Yankev. It's printed in the Mishkan as Yankev. Mishkan as Yankev printed it during his own lifetime. He must have sent a handwritten copy of his tshuva to Rav Chaim Volozhin. So they found it on Rav Chaim Volozhin's desk. They thought it was written by him. It wasn't his tshuva. So they have that printed in the Chutam Shulosh. That's a mistaken identity. That was really a tshuva in the Mishkan as Yankev. Anyway, so this is an important topic. This Tosis is an important Tosis, but you have to put it together with the Tosis and Menachos, the other Tosis. Then the Gemara discusses, how do you know that how do you know Gid Anosh is Mutabano? Right. So that we discussed yesterday, Kashutra and the Vedla, he the Chelba, the Gid Hutra or not. Okay, whether Gid is Bechal Basar, depends on the Machlek is Hatanam, whether Yesh be Gid Menos and Tam, Amy Gid Menos and Tam. Then the Gemara says, there is a din. What else the Gemara says? So there's a Machlek is Hatanam, whether Gid Anosh is also Bano or not. Yeah. What does it depend on? So if you hold Yesh be Gid Menos and Tam, so Gid has a nisa nevela on it. Also, gid is bechlav basar. So the gid of the nevela has a nisa nevela on it. So kishuhutra nevela, he the gid hutra. So the gid anasha would be muta. But if you hold and the gid menaisa tam, gid is not dinikit basar. So the gid anasha of a nevela does not have a nisa nevela on it. It's not roi lachila. Only besar nevela is also. The karnaim and the tlofim and the gidim, ein begidim menaisen tam, karnaim, tlofim, and the gidim, are not considered basa, so they don't have an esa nevela. So then you have no market to say that gid anasha should be mutabano. Gid anasha mutabano is only if you hold yesh begidim menaisen tam, and therefore kishuutra nevela, when the Torah allows nevela, is mutabano, he begidim hutra. So that's what the Rishonim ask on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, ein begidim menaisen tam. It's not dina kibbosa, and therefore there's no din, you don't need shishim, okay? And nonetheless, the Rambam paskins, the gid anasha is mutabano. So that's a kasha, that Rambam is against the Gemara. Gemara says that it's totally zebizeh. So the Beis Yosef quotes that problem with the Rambam. That's why the Beis Yosef recommends you should be machman, not the gid anasha and the gid anasha, because the Rambam says mutabano is problematic, it's astira, and he says, ubefrat, that the Zohar is of the opinion. Maybe we should be choshish for the Zohar. Zohar is of the opinion that Gid Anasha is also Bano. So that's what the later Achrayim, the Bach and the later Achrayim say. What does it say? Befrat the Zohar says. Zohar is quoted in the Gemara. That's Reb Shimon. The Gemara quotes Reb Shimon holds Gid Anasha is also Bano. So this Zohar appears in the Gemara. It doesn't add more strength to the argument to say that the Befrat that the Zohar says that it's also. The Gemara quoted Reb Shimon. The Gid Anasha is also Bano. Okay, so the Gemara said that. So, what do they have so far? The dam. Yeah, how do you know dam is mutabano? So the Gemara says, "Shari dam diiskish l'maim nichsav l'sachanos tishbchena kamaim." Just like maim is mutar, so too. Then the Gemara says, "Maybe it's kamaim hamis naschem agabi hamizbech nisachamaim on sukkis, and maybe maim shenishbachem lefnei avodah zarah." Also, asabano mikam te krubis. Mayim in the base amigdosh is also because of hegdish. And mayim shenishpachim lefnei abadizara is considered te krubis. So the Gemara says, no. It says, alos te shechenaka mayim, the dam is compared to roiv mayim. Roiv mayim in the world is neither hegdish nor abadizara. Then the Gemara says, well, where do you see roiv mayim? Gemara says, midi roiv mayim ksiv, four lines from the bottom. It doesn't say in the Chumash that dam is compared to roiv mayim, it's compared to mayim. Maybe it's compared to the Maim, that's also Bano. So we just pointed out this is problematic argument in the Gemara, because there's a Ramban in the Machamis, the beginning of Brochas writes, whenever the Gemara darshans a Pasuk, they always establish the Dina based on the Roiv. Unless you see from the Mashmoz of the Pasuk that it depends on the Miut. The Roiv of water in the world is clearly water that's Mutabano. But the Gemara said, Midi Rav Maim Ksiv, it doesn't say Rav Maim. So that's the question. So what if it doesn't say? But the Ramban writes in the Mocham is that that's how you always establish the dinim, based on what the roiv is. Except for Zman Kriyash Manka, it says, B'shach Becha, or B'kum Echa, where the Chaf, it doesn't say B'shach Bechem, or B'kum Echem. It says B'shach Becha, and the singular B'kum Echa, when the Miyad Bin Adam are going to sleep, when the Miyad Bin Adam are waking up. So that's why it depends on B'nai Malachim. When the B'nai Malachim, most people in the world, 99.99% of the people in the world, more than 99.99%, are not B'nai Malachim. They're not laying in bed till Sof Gimel Shos. So why do you establish a Dinam of Kriyashma, this Man of Kriyashma, based on B'nai Malachim? So Ramban says, because, and also when you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning, Vasikin, before sunrise, all of these are Mir B'nai Adam, the Roy B'nai Adam, don't go to sleep at these times, they don't wake up at these times. Ramban says, yeah, because it says in the singular, B'shach B'cha, or B'kum Echa, B'zman, that the Mir B'nai Adam are going to sleep or waking up. But usually when you darshan Sukkim, you do darshan based on the Roiv. So that was, I just raised the issue. Why does the Gemara say, Midi Roiv Ma'im Ksiv? And the Gemara says, no. Mora says, no, it's learned out from a different pasuk. What was the other pasuk? Alos tishbechenu kamayim. Not mayim hanisochim. that it wouldn't be called Tishbichenu. If you're Menasachet and the Beis Hamikdash La Shamayim or Menasachet La Vodizara, it would be called Maim Hanisachim. It wouldn't be called Tishbichenu Kamayim. So you see that the Torah meant to compare Dam to plain water, not to the Tekrubizdik of water, not to the water of Nisach Hamayim on Sukkot. Fine. Then the Gemara establishes, yeah. Then the Gemara says, okay, you only need a pasuk to say that that dam is muta bahanoa, dam is iskish lemaim, if you hold like Rabbi Abo, that there should have been a principle that anything that's asa b'achilu should also be asa b'ana. But according to Rabbi Chanina, according to Chizkia doesn't hold from that klal that Rabbi Abo established. He holds there is no such klal. So what do you need a pasuk to say that dam is mutabanam hechetei? So why should you think in the first place it should be asmanah? It doesn't say lo ye ochel. It says kol dam lo sechelu. The Gemara says no. I need a pasuk to tell me a different din that dam is one of the Zion mashkim. What's a din of Zion mashkim? There in the whole wide world there are only four categories of things that are mekabel tuma. Adam mekelem ochlem mashkim. Now ochlem are only mekabel tuma if it had huchshar. Had hechsher chiyuta mayim al zera oichelim aron and mekabel tuma if they were rinsed off. It doesn't have to be rinsed off with mayim chiyuta mayim al zera only mayim. So the mishnayos have no. There's a rashi tevis yad shoch adam. So yad shoch adam is a rashi tevis of the seven mashkim that are machshel lekabel tuma. So I need this pasuk to say alos tishbuchenu kamayim that dam is one of the zayin mashkim that's machshel lekabel tuma. And also we learn out here, is that the whole story? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. What we say that there are four categories of things that are mekabel tuma, the mekelem ochlem mashkim. Which mashkim? So the Rambam's opinion is only the Zayin mashkim that are recognized as a mashke to be machshel mekabel tuma. So those Zayin mashkim are mekabel tuma. If you have grapefruit juice or orange juice, that's not machshel mekabel tuma. It's not mekabel tuma either. And the Ravid says, ma pitom, it's roi lachila. It's roi lachila sodom. No, the din of the yad shoch adam, that only the zayin mashkim count for the purposes of machshe zayin mekabel tuma. But to be mekabel tuma, whatever food is mekabel tuma. It's not one general din, food, because oichlim need hechshe lekabel tuma, and mashkim alulim lekabel tuma. Mashkim are mekabel tuma without hechshe. So according to the Ravid, apple juice and orange juice would be mekabel tuma without hechsher. So he also agrees. It's not that there are only three categories, odem mekelim and food, anything that's roi lachil. No, it's four categories. Ochlem and mashkim. The mashkim is separate. But not like the Rambam, that the only seven mashkim that count are the zayin mashkim, the yad shoch adam. The Rabbi holds all mashkim, all beverages that are royal ishtia are not all the other beverages are machshel kabel tuma, but they're all considered mashkim that they are mekabel tuma. Ochlem and mashkim are two different categories. But all right, that ochlem need hechsher, the kabel tuma mashkim don't need hechsher. Yeah. So then the Gemara says we learn a couple of things from this puzzle. You learn that dam has a din of a mashke. Just like mayim is machshir lekabel tuma, dam is also machshir. But we say only dam chulin, dam of the behemas korban, is not dam which is not roi l'shvicha, is not machshir lekabel tuma. Only, how does the Gemara have the lashon over here? Menayin the dam kachim shena machshir, dam of korbanis is oimid lezrika, so it's not Tishpachena, it's not roi l'shvicha. Dam she'nishpa kamayim is machshir. Dam she'nishpa kamayim is not machshir. So dam kachim is not machshir. That's the din. Okay. Then the Gemara proves that what the Rev Menachai is mutabano. Okay. You're just not allowed to give it to a nochri because lifnei b'lisiti mikshol. But if you give it to the behema, that would be fine. So because Rev Menachai is mutabano. Fine. Then Sharon Iskal, okay, Sharon Iskal, Chametz B'Pesach, those are the two that we're concentrating on. Sharon Iskal, after you make it Gmar Din, then it becomes Asa B'Hanoah. Yeah. So the Gemara says, not only the Shohar Niskal becomes also Bahano, the or of the Shohar Niskal also becomes also Bahano, the hide. How do you know that even the hide? So the Gemara says, because it says, Lo Yachal es Bisara, es Hatofel Bisara. Then the Gemara says, well, that's a machlokes Hatanan, whether they darshan es or not. So they quote, there was a Tana, Shimon Hamsoni, another Girsa has it, Nechemiel Hamsoni, a Tana lived before the days of Rebbe Akiva. He went with the premise that every word in the Torah has a meaning, has a significance. And if it says S in modern Hebrew, we would leave out a lot of S. But in the Chumash, you have a lot of times, B'Yosh B'Ala came, S HaShemayim, S HaHoretz. But every time it says S, you're darshan something. It's marbis something else. So he was darshaning until he came to S HaShem L'Kechatir, until he came to Dvarim chapter Yud. And it says you have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Es Hashem HaKachatira. You should fear someone else in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's only one God in heaven above. So who else, who's on the board of directors there in heaven that you have to fear the chairman of the board also? There's only Einoid Malvad, there's nobody else there. So this Tana, Shimon HaMsoni, Lachem HaMsoni, Pirish. He backed out from all the drasha. He told the students they should put away all the notes and the Shemus, everything is wrong. So they said, Rebbe, what's going to be? But we have all these notes of all the drasha. It says, "Kishem shekibalt hischar al adrisha, kachani akabel schar al aprisha." Who says that is kibalt hischar al adrisha? Now it's a glowing Muslim afred that all the shurim that he gave over his whole lifetime, he gave 10 years of shurim, darshaning every time it says yes. It turns out everything was wrong. Maybe you don't get schar al adrisha. So you see from this gemara, the Ravid points out, the Ravid wrote hasogas on the rif. And he started writing the Hasagas when he was only 19 years old. I think he writes so himself. He's only 19. And he says, probably what I say is wrong. Because the Rif at that time was like the Mishnah Brura is today. That was the Sefer Psak. The Rif was the Sefer Psak. The Chubas Haganim are not Mesudadik. Here and there is haphazard. The Rif wrote consistently. He gives you at every sugya. Gives you what the Maskana was. Years later, when the Rambam was written, so the Rambam has everything in a fantastic Seder. That one was much better than the Rif to find the din. But when the Rebbe was writing his Hasogas on the Rif, so he says, probably what I have to say is probably wrong, but I'm going to get a reward anyway, just like the Tana said, Keshem Shekibat is Char al Adrisha. You get reward if you try to figure out the emes at pshat and the din, even if it turns out that you made a mistake. I think they attribute this pshat to the Chofetz Chaim. When you make a siyum, so you say, "Oh no, I'm melem, behem I'm melem, oh no, I'm melem and mekaplan schar, behem I'm melem, ainem mekaplan schar." What do you mean? "Oh no, I'm melem and mekaplan schar, behem I'm melem, ainem mekaplan schar." What? The construction worker or the person who works in a factory or the other people don't get paid a salary. Some of them get paid even better. They don't get paid like a YU pays the Rebbe's, but they get paid a salary. So what do you mean? "Oh no, I'm melem and mekaplan schar, behem I'm melem, ainem mekaplan schar." Everyone who does work, everyone who works for a living gets paid a salary. So I think they attribute this to the Chofetz Chaim. We work hard, and even if it turns out that we made a mistake and everything we said was wrong, all the shurim are wrong, we still get schar because we tried to give, for attempting to give the right shot. If they work their heads off and it turns out that everything was wrong, they don't get any schar. They don't get any schar. If they accomplish something, if they come up with the right vaccine, so then they get paid a salary. If they don't come up with the right answer, then they don't get paid a salary. We get paid for attempting to give the right shot. So that was until Rabbi Akiva came along. So this Tana backed out, and many followed the sheet of that Tana, that the word S doesn't mean you don't darshan S. Rabbi Akiva Vali made S Hashem HaKechatir L'Rabbis Tamid HaChamim. That the Dida Mora Rabbach Kemora Shamayim. Mora Rabbach Kemora Shemaim only applies to Rabbi Muvok. There's a din you have to be mechabed. How does it say? V'pnei seva takum hadarta p'nei zokein. Seva means a person over 70. So you have to stand up when a person over 70 walks in. But v'hadarta p'nei zokein, zokein does mean an elderly person. Zokein means eshikon hachachma, tam hachachma, even if he's young. Even if he's a young person, if he's very learned, you have to be hadarta, you have to be mechabit. So that's a din of kovet. But if it's Rabbi Muvok, if it's your Rebbe, Rav Chachmasa Heimenu, let's say I learned by this Rebbe, I learned in first year high school, I learned by Rabbi Tendler. Okay, so I have to always show kavod to Rabbi Tendler, because I learned he was one of my rabbeim. But I can't really say that he's Rabbi Mubik. At the time, he was Rabbi Mubik. When I learned by him, we covered the first 40 blatt in Bava Kamma with almost every single taisus. I think we skipped very few taisus. And he was fantastic. He was a fantastic rabbi. At that time, it was Rabbi Mubik. But then I moved on. I learned by other rabbeim. So the one who's the Rabbi Mubik, then there's not only a din of kovet v'hadarta p'nei zokan, it's a din. How do you see from the word S? S usually means S atofil. Like it says, Baruch, it says, Besora b'mayim. When a person is tame, he has to be toivel in a mikveh. So what does it say, Baruch, it's S besora? Let it say, Baruch, it's Besora b'mayim. S atofil b'sora, that if a person has long hair, let's say a woman has long hair, not only does the body of the woman have to be submerged under the water b'basachas, the body of the woman with all the hair. Because es atofel b'sarei means the seor. Or over here, v'lo yachal es b'sarei, es atofel b'sarei goes on, not on the seor, goes on the or, the hide of the sharanisko, also becomes also b'hano. The es, whenever you darshan es, you darshan something that's tofel. The hide is attached to the flesh, and the hair is on the, attached to the body. It grows on the head. So when you say Es Hashem Lakech Atila LeRabbis Tamir Chachamim, so the Maram in Prague had such a comment. Apparently, Tamir Chachamim are the things that are most tuffle to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Other people, non-Tamir Chachamim, think that there's something special, and they don't always see themselves that they're subservient, that they're tuffle to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And honest to goodness, Tamir Chachamim is supposed to be tuffle to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He's supposed to always visualize as if the Rebbeinu Shlom is always there. And he's always tough up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the din. Not only is there a din of kovod by a Rebbe, by a Rebbe Mufak, it's a din, Mora Rabbah Kemora Shemaim, a din of Mora. It's a din of kovod and a din of Mora. And by Kibbut Aviyem, the Tupsukim, there's Kibbut Aviyem and Mora Aviyem. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in Kiddush in the end of the first Pek, Ezu Kibbut, Ezu Humora. Mora means an extra degree of Kibbut. Even a higher degree. So that din of Moira Rabba Kemora Shamaim, that only applies by the Rabbi Muvok. This pasuk only goes on Rabbi Muvok. Fine. So what they bring in the S for about Sharanisko? Yeah. How do you know Sharanisko is also Bahano? Only says Velo Yochalas Bisa. How do you know it's also Bahano? The Gemara said because. So according to Rabbi Bo, you know that it's also b'ano because komakim shenem al yochel osochlo osochlo achadisa achilu achadisa hano. Okay, and then s b'sar means s even goes on the or hano asa or. Then the Gemara talks about orlo. You have orlo means if you plant the tree, the first 3 years whatever grows is also b'ano. A lot of times nothing will grow the first 3 years, so. The Chumash says, lo yeyachel. It doesn't say it's asamano, it just says lo yeyachel. So according to Chizkiya, that's where he gets his drasha from. Because it says lo yeyachel, and then it spells out that even Hano is also, because it says three times. V'araltam alos arelim lo yeyachel. It says three times the word arelim. So we darshan that not only asa b'achil, it's asa b'hanoa, and not only anoma hanoa, even chazusa, shalo yitzababo, and not only shalo yitzababo, shalo yadlik bo esaner. Fine. Yeah, what do you need a pasuk, shalo yitzababo? Once you know it says arelim, and the word arelim means that it's not only asa b'achil, it's asa b'hanoa, so memele lo yitzababo. You can't use it to dye in the garment, so that's what Tosafot quotes the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. Of all places, the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Aleph, Nageta Yeridea, that the Gemara raises a question whether Chazusa Milsehi, Chazusa La Milsehi. The Nadi Behuda had a son who was also very learned. He took over the father's Rabbanus. The Nadi Behuda's last Rabbanus was in Prague. That was the big city at that time. And that was on the cutting edge of all of the Nevolus of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, V'Chasdamim, like New York City. Was on the cutting edge of everything. And after many years in the rabbinate after many years in the rabbinate, in Prague. So the Rabbi Yehuda writes on one of the tshuvas, they used to ask him, Shailos, they used to say, Zinsa and Zainas and Prutas and everything. He says, give me a break already. I had enough of the Zainas and Prutas. Ask someone else. Stop bothering me already with this. He lived in a big city. So he had, the son who took over after he passed away wrote the tshuvas, Shailos tshuvas, Shiva Sion. Sometimes the printers want to get more customers to buy. So they call it Nadi Yehuda Chela Gimel. It's not Nadi Yehuda Chela Gimel. It's tshuvas by the son. The son has some tshuvas printed in the Nadi Yehuda, Chela Galef and Beis. Some of the tshuvas were written by the son. But this volume, Shiva Sion, is written by the son. So the son has a long arichas in another place, not in the Shiva Sion. Has a long arichas. They were talking in abstract. The chelas for the big dekuna and the chelas for the tzitzis has to come from the chalazin. So now they assume this chalazin is this shell, mollusk. It's a shelled animal, so it's not a kosher animal. It doesn't have a snap of the kaskesis. Doesn't have any kaskesis. But in those days of the Nadi Yehuda, they were still wondering, what kind of a sea creature is it? Does it have to be kosher or not? Because there's a Gemara in Bamim Adlikin where the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition. Usually Gemiri means Allah l'mashim sinai, l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim al-or behem ha-tahira belvad. The context of the Gemara is like this. The Gemara says, when you write the mezuzah or the Sefer Torah or the tefillin on a piece of parchment, so that parchment has to be the hide from a kosher animal, because the pasuk says lemantia taras Hashem beficha, and we understand what it means is menamuta beficha. Taras Hashem, whenever you're writing psukim from Tanakh, you're writing psukim in a sefer Torah, tefillin, and a mezuzah. They have to write it taras Hashem beficha menamuta beficha. You have to write it on parchment from an animal that's a kosher animal. The parchment is really kosher. Even parchment from an elephant or from a horse or from a donkey, the parchment is not dina kibasa. That's not royal achilu. It's not treif. But that's the halacha. It has to come from a kosher animal. Well, what about the ritzuas? The ritzuas don't have any. What about the batim? So the Gemara says, the bayis shal rosh has a shin on it. What about the bayis shal yad? What about the ritzuas? The ritzuas don't have any divrei Torah written on them. So how do you know that the ritzuas and the batim, the shalyad bias, has to be from a kosher animal? So Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition. We have Allah Moshem Sinai, l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim al-or behem ha-torah b'alvad. So this is a big question. There's a tshuva by the Taras Chesed. Taras Chesed was a rabbi in Lublin, in Poland. And then when he retired in the 1800s, when he retired, he moved to Yerushalayim. That was the style in those days. Rabbis would retire from Europe, they would move to Eretz Yisrael. Now also that's the style. A lot of rabbis from America retire, they move to Eretz Yisrael. So he retired, then he joined the Badat, some day the Haredis of the Ashkenazi Kehillah in Yerushalayim. And then he published his two volumes of Tshuvas Chesed, very beautiful Tshuvas. So he has a Shabbos Shuva Pilpul. He printed a lot of Shabbos Agorot drush and Shabbos Shuva drushes because he used to say a lot of halacha. So he has a Shabbos Shuva drusha where he discusses the din in the Ramah, who quotes a Ran on the Rif in the end of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar has to come from a kosher animal because lehuchshu lemalach hashamayim alar behem haTorah belvad. So the Ramah quotes this from the Ran. So he points out that the Ran was mesupik about it. The Ramah writes that it's no good. He says it's not 100% accurate. The Ran was raised it as a question. Why is it a question? Sofkosav the Gemara does say lehuchshu lemalach hashamayim el or behem haTorah belvad has to come from a kosher animal. So he explains, the Taras Chesed explains, all the religious articles that you can buy in a Judaic store are divided into two categories. There are Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. So Tashmishe Kedusha, Ritzuas of the Tefillin, or the Batim, even the Bayis Shel Yad doesn't have any letters written on it. So that's Tashmishe Kedusha. So that for sure is included in this din. The Gemara says the Tachash in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tachash doesn't exist anymore. It was an animal that only lived in the days of the Moshe Rabbeinu, and now it disappeared. So the Gemara said, but it must have been a kosher animal because they used Orest Choshim for the oil on the Mishkan. The oil on the Mishkan is Tashmish Kedusha, like the base, the walls of the base of Mikdash have Kedusha. So for Tashmish Kedusha, for sure there's a din. The Huchshur L'malach HaShamayim Alar Behematar Balvad. Just like the Ritzuis and the Bayesh Al Yad, even though there's no psukim written on it, there's no debetar written on it, but it has to be from a kosher animal. So the Orist Choshim, the Tachash, has to be a kosher animal. But the shofar is only a Tashmishay Mitzvah. So maybe this din of Luhukshu doesn't apply to Tashmishay Mitzvah. Same thing the Rabbi in Ebenezer and Hilchas Chalitza, they quote the Rabbi Natam, who's quoted by the Rishonim. I don't remember that it's in Tosfos. The Rishonim quote this Rabbi Natam. Chalitza Shu has to be Machloikis in Tanoim, Machloikis and Rishonim. So we're Machma has to be made from leather. Leather. If you have a wooden shoe in Holland, some people still go with wooden shoes. So if you walk with a wooden shoe, that would not be acceptable for chalitza. It has to be a leather shoe. So the Rabbi Natam is quoted as saying, has to be a leather shoe from a or behemoth tohira. So the chalitza shoe is a tashmishe mitzvah. It's not a tashmishe kedusha. After you finish doing the chalitza, you can throw it out in the garbage if you don't want it. We're going to use it again for another chalitza. We always use the best news. It's the same chalitza shoe. It's one shoe that fits all. It's the shoe has to fit well. If it doesn't fit well, it's not going to be good. You have to get a shoe that fits well on the foot of the yavam when you do the chalitza. But the chalitza is not the tashmishi kedusha. Tashmishi kedusha is only if you have psukim written, like tefillin and mezuzah sefer Torah. So that's what the Torah's Chesed points out. That's a fundamental question in the Rishonim. Whether this din l'huchshu malach shamayim b'lar behemet Torah belvad, does it only apply to Tashmishe Kedusha? Does it even apply to Tashmishe Mitzvah? That's question number one. So then he has a shayla. Tzitzis is Tashmishe Mitzvah, it's not Tashmishe Kedusha. So should I assume that the chilazon has to be a kosher fish? Because if it's a non-kosher fish, l'huchshu malach shamayim. So one question is whether the Huchshuru applies to Tashmish and Mitzvah or only to Tashmish and Kedushin. Question number two, and that's what he writes a lot about, Nari Behuda's son, he writes a lot about this. Maybe I should say Chazusala Milsehi. Not that the strings are from a trefa animal. The strings are wool or whatever material. You're dyeing the string. You're dyeing a woolen string, trelos color, and the color comes from the chilos. So maybe I should say chazus or lav milse. That was an ibayi the loyv shita, but we come on daf kuf aleph. Whether chazus and milse, chazus or lav milse, when you dye clothing, and the dye is absorbed in the beggar. It's not that it's standing on the surface; it's absorbed in the beggar. He says kamandi, you say dami, kamanda le say dami. So maybe if you hold chazus or lav milse, he kamanda le say dami. So maybe it doesn't bother me, even if the din of lahuch sholam lechu shamayim should really apply to Tashmishe Mitzvah as well. Yeah, it applies to Tashmishe Mitzvah that the shofar has to be from a kosher animal because you're using the shofar or the leather shoe for chalitza has to be from a kosher animal. But if you're just using the dye from a non-kosher animal and the dye gets absorbed in the woolen strings, maybe that's chazus ala milsi. Maybe that's not a problem. So that's a sfeikah d'dina, with a chazus and milsi. The way they claim now that the word chaloza means a mollusk, and it has the shell on the outside, and the shell grows, the Rashi and Chumash quotes that, when the chilozen grows, the shell grows with it. The flesh inside grows bigger, and the shell grows to make more room for the flesh inside. So that's a mollusk. So a mollusk is not kosher. So apparently we assume that it's not a problem. Yeah, in Europe they printed the Oruch. The Oruch is a dictionary. It was written during the lifetime of Rashi. Rabbi Nassim lived in Rome and he wrote the Oruch. It's a dictionary of Talmudic Aramaic. So there was one edition where they have long footnotes written in German. So they have a long, when they talk about chalazon, the trelos for the chalazon, they have a long footnote written by the Nari Behuda's son. And my father had that set of the Aruch. And then he wrote in Hebrew also on the topic. Yeah. Yes.
Is it possible that even if we say chazus alav melsehi, that dafka by trelos, where like the ikr is the chazusa, isn't it? Like the ikr is the color. Wouldn't like that be more of a reason to say that it would matter even if usually it doesn't? Does anybody say that or?
Yeah, it's there is room to distinguish, sure. There is room to distinguish. But if we have, if they claim that they have identified that that is the chalazon, that's tak treif. So apparently that's a gzeris hakosav. You got to use it, even if it is treif. Yeah, there is a discussion in Yeridei about chazus and milsehi. Let's say an isa falls into heter, a drop, a few drops of isa fall into heter. You have shishim against it. It's not nice and tam, but it changed the whole color of the whole thing. It affected a change in the color. So should you say chazus and milsehi or not? So the Mechaber and the Ramah both make a on that. They say, even though it changed the color, it doesn't bother us. It's still going to be batel b'shishim. And the Prichodesh says, what do you mean? But it's an abide the life sheet in the Gemara, whether chazus and milsehi. Why should you ignore it with respect to anisa? If anisa falls in, chazus and milsehi should be considered as if it's bien. So the Prichodesh thinks it should be machmer. And I think the Talmidim of the Chassam Sefer quote from the Chassam Sefer that he said, since it's an Ibai Leif Shita, so if it's an Isa Deraisa that fell in and changed the color, you should say Sveika Deraisa Lechumra. It's an Isa Derabanan that fell in, so an Ibai Leif Shita and an Isa Derabanan, you say Sveika Derabanan Lekula. So that's an issue, halacha lemaisa. It comes up every so often that a factory processes a certain type of food, a goyishim factory, and they put in a treif ingredient that changes the whole color, the whole thing, but it's in a nice and tam. It wasn't put in to give tam, it's put in for some other purpose. But it changes the whole color. So do you say that chazus and milsi, and therefore it's not batel or not? So the Mechaber and the Rama both mekel, and the Shach doesn't say a word. And the Pirchadosh is the one who raised the issue. He said maybe I should say chazus and milsi, and it's not batel. Okay. Then the Gemara quotes Shaila Natu al Arabim a machlokes hatanam. A person plants trees in his own farm, but he announces to the public that he's giving it over to the municipality. Natu al Arabim. So what? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. How do you darshan the psukim? Whether the din of Arlo only applies if a person planted the trees for his own personal use, or even as natel erab. So the Chazon Ish has comments on Mishnayos Arlo. There is no Bavli has a sefer on Arlo, and he raises the issue on the opening Mishnah in Arlo. What do you mean natel erabim? He just makes an oral declaration. Usually we have a rule. In the Rambam, it's Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchas Mechira. He starts, Ein amekech nikne bedvarim. If I want to transfer ownership, I own property, I want to transfer it to you. So just by making an oral declaration, by saying it, I hereby declare it belongs to you, so it doesn't change ownership. I think according to Dina de Machus in New York State, I think Karka needs a kinyan, and metaltalim aniknim bamira. If you just make an oral declaration, it already belongs to the other person. He doesn't have to do a hagboy, he doesn't have to do a meshicha, he doesn't have to do any kinyan. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin according to the din haTorah, that's the first klal of the Rambam, ein amekach nikne bedvarim, where the karko and metaltalim. So the Chazon Ish says, by medvarim amurim, if you're makna to a yochid, but if you're makna to the rabbim, he gets the impression that hanetel a rabbim. It sounds from the Mishnah that, and then he has a Mishnah in the Dorim also like that. You can be makna something to the municipality just by making an oral declaration. Where is the pasuk? Where is the makar for this? So he suggests maybe the makar is the institution of Hefker. Where is the makar that such an institution exists? When the Rabban Shalom created the world, everything was Hefker, everything was up for grabs. And then by now, everything was already oizgi gripped. Everybody would made a kinyan on so every inch of the globe already belongs to somebody or another. So how do you know that after acquiring ownership of something, how do you know that you can make it back hefker? So the Tosis in Bava Kamma quotes the Yerushalmi and Peya. It's learned out from the Pasuk by Shemitah. I think it's in Parshas Mishpatim. Hashviyas Tishmetena Unetashto. So Tishmetena means it's a mitzvah to be, the Baal HaSod has a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. He has a mitzvah to be mafka the perishmi. It doesn't have to be mafka the farm. It has to be mafka the perish that grow during Shnas HaShemitah. So what does it say? Tishmetena unetashta keitha loshen. So that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether he darshan l'shanis kvulim. So that's what we mentioned many times. Machlek so by Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds the Betorah Kodesh Shem Yodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. A lot of times he dictated the way people speak. They repeat themselves. They say extra words unnecessarily. So Rabbi Shmuel says you can't darshan l'shonis kfulim. Just because it says tish b'tenu anetashta doesn't necessarily mean anything new. And Rabbi Kiva says no. You do darshan l'shonis kfulim. Lo di Betorah Kodesh Shem Yodim. When the Rebbe Shlom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, every word and every letter has a significance. Every word has a meaning. So whenever it says, Hanik Tanik Nosin Tint Pasach Tiftach Mos Yumas, whenever it repeats something twice, like over here, Tishmeten on a Tashta, it means to tell you something. So what are you dashing here? Tishmeten, you should be Mafka the Perishvis. On a Tashta, Yeshlach Netisha Cherishi Kazu. All of the 6 years long, if you want to be Mafka anything, you're not mechuyev to be mafka anything else, but if you want to, you can be mafka whatever you want. So there is an institution of hefka. So the question is, what does it mean, hefka? Hefka means I declare it as ownerless. It doesn't belong to anybody. Or means it belongs to the rabbim, that any member of the rabbim has the right to take it and make it his private ownership. Where do you get such an einfall from? That's when the farmer is mafresh truma, belongs to Shevet Kohuna. When the farmer is mafresh maiserishim, belongs to Shevet Leviya. And Shevet Kuna, Shevet Leviya means it's a corporation. It doesn't mean how many Kohanim are there in the world to own Bishutvas. No, own Bishutvas. How can any one Kohen come and take it for himself? It's own Bishutvas by everybody. No. Shevet Kuna is like a Chaloshem Bailim. It's a corporation. Belongs to Shevet Kuna, belongs to Shevet Leviya. So that's possible to say that Hefka means I'm makna to the Rabbim. I'm not that I make it ownerless. Once it belongs to you, you can't revert back to become ownerless. Maybe it could be maknet to the rabbim, that any member of the rabbim has a right to take it and keep it as his own. So that's what the Chazanish suggests. If that's the pshat in hefker, hefker means you're maknet to the rabbim, that any man, like Shevet Kuna, so then that is the mucker, that whenever you're maknet to the rabbim, there's no need for a ma'aseh kinyan. Just make an oral declaration. I raise a hefker, so the same thing. So really, this you didn't need the Chazon Ish for this. There's a Ramah, but the Ramah is not in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Shin Lamed Gimel, Hilchas Chiras Poelim and Choshen Mishpat, Shin Lamed Gimel in the Darkei Moshe on the tour. Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah didn't know that Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote them. Ramah lived in Poland, in Krakow, and Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Tzfat and Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't see each other. They corresponded a little bit with each other. But so the Ramah wrote a whole long sefer Darkei Moshe Ha'oris on the tour. He didn't have a copy of the Beis Yosef. Then when he got the Beis Yosef, so he doesn't have to duplicate, doesn't have to write the same thing twice. So he abridged the Darkei Moshe, and so we have in all the standard editions of the tour, we have the abridged form of the Darkei Moshe. Sometimes he abridged it so much there are things that he wrote in the Darkei Moshe that don't appear in the Beis Yosef. We don't understand why he left them out when he abridged it. So that's why they reprinted the Darkei Moshe Ha'oruch. It's a separate sefer. You can get the Darkei Moshe Ha'oruch on Aruch Chaim and on Yeridea. Sometimes they have it printed in the back of the new Turim. They have the Darkei Moshe Ha'oruch printed in the back. So the Darkei Moshe on the tour, the regular Darkei Moshe, not the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe on the tour in Choshen Mishpat quotes a Mordechai in Bava Metziah, that if a person commits himself to work for a shutvis of three people is called a rabbin. That's a discussion in the Gemara in Gittin. How many people do you need that it should be called a rabbin? Do you need three people or do you need 10 people? What's the difference? There was an opinion in the Gemara that's not accepted. Neder shuhuda barabim, a neder that was accepted in public in the presence of rabbin, ein lo hafar ve'ein lo hator. We don't pass like that. We pass a neder shuhuda al das rabbin. So how many people do you need to be called Adas Rab? So that's a machloikis in the Gemara. Three people or 10 people. So the Ramah quotes a Mordechai that three people is called Rabbim. You don't need 10. And it's relevant for Kinyonim that if I agree to work for you, I can always quit in the middle. Pearl Chazabah, Philibem Sayom, because you never made a Kinyon on me. But if you made a kinyan, let's say you gave me a handkerchief and you kind of me as a poil, then the Ramah, then the Mordechai says, I can't back out. It's a question whether we pass like this. The Shach thinks we shouldn't paskin like the whole Mordechai, the whole premise. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes that if the Baal HaBayis made a kinyan on the poel, then the poel cannot back out. Poel chazer b'afilu b'emtzayon. Poel has a right to quit in the middle of the day only if the Baal HaBayis, the owner of the company, didn't make a kinyan on him. But if he made a kinyan, he can't quit. So what if he committed himself to work for a shutfus of three or more people? Let's say he's going to teach in the yeshiva. The yeshiva is run by the board, the rabbim. It's not a private thing. It's the rabbim. So rabbim don't need a kinyan. Rabbim Akaina, with an oral declaration, with an oral commitment, the rabbim Akaina is considered as if they made a kinyan. That's even a bigger chiddush than what the Chazanish said. Chazanish is talking about rabbim and giving it over to the municipality. And there the Ramah quotes the Mordechai and Bava Metzia, even if just the rabbim of three shutfim. Okay, we better stop here. Maybe tomorrow we'll continue in the Chazorah, or we should discuss. We're gonna get together at 7 o'clock tomorrow in the evening. So we'll discuss in Yom HaChanukah then. So